listening to the Fantasy Movie League podcast, the free fantasy game for Hollywood. Pick 8 movies for your own fantasy cineplex each week, earn points from real weekend box office results. Compete for free in public leagues or against your friends at fantasymovieleague.com. This is Wednesday, November 16th, and it's week 12 of the Fantasy Movie League fall season. I'm Pete Johnson, the Fantasy Movie League nerd, and I'm joined by Patrick Reardon, the box office guy. And Patrick, how's the weather in Toronto? Are you all settled in your post-election move?
You know, believe it or not, my girlfriend actually is in Toronto right this second, totally unrelated on business. So I could easily have her scouting it there, but I'm not going to be moving to Canada. I will stay here and fight.
The sunshine is just too much to pass up, right?
Apparently it's not that bad right now. It's in its 50s. It feels like fall and it's kind of pleasant, but it's going to get cold.
All right. Well, action-packed week here in Fantasy Movie League last week as well. As a lot of people predicted, the Veterans Day weekend gave a nice bump to Hacksaw Ridge, which came in as best performer. Perfect Cinema ended up being one screen of Trolls, 6 screens of Hacksaw Ridge, and for only the third time ever, a blank in that Perfect Cinema. Were you surprised by that?
A little bit, and again, I basically stuck with my coma lineup. I knew, like, you know, Trolls would have been the way to go. I thought with the kids off, it might have gotten the bump. I totally forgot about that. But I totally just, you know, like, put the veterans, like, Hacksaw Ridge thing out of my mind. So I wish I had thought of that. So I was a little surprised, especially whenever you have a blank screen.
Well, I was a little surprised that Trolls did quite as well, because I always thought, you know, I thought that sort of the patriotism that would get spurred on Veterans Day would carry through the whole weekend. But if you're going to get a bump out of that Friday, somebody's got to take those kids to the movies, and not everybody has it off. And I ended up being wrong about that. Trolls had a big enough bump that it justified the blank screen. But that was my thinking anyway.
Well, yes, and I got burned by that, and, like, you know, I stuck with the Arrival thing, which did okay, I think better than some prognosticators, but, like, you know, Trolls just too strong, as was Hacksaw Ridge.
Well, Arrival will have an interesting part of our conversation a little bit later, given the pro box office forecast for the weekend that came in shortly before we started recording.
Which makes me feel better about my coma lineup, which has 7 screens of it, so we'll get into that.
Interesting. Okay, well, so to wrap up on last week, 514 people had that Perfect Cinema. The most popular cinema is what I espoused and what I played was one screen of Almost Christmas, which didn't do quite as well, with 7 screens of Hacksaw Ridge. 1,487 people played that. But if you played that, you weren't hurting too badly, because the delta between most popular and Perfect Cinema was on the low side. It was more like around 10 million. So if you played one of those, you probably did pretty well in the standings this week. Now, speaking of that, we've got 3 people in the Billionaires Club now as we're heading into the final 2 weeks of Fantasy Movie League. Tommy Wiseau is in first place with 1,300,000,000 in change. Bams, who we had not heard from before, is in second place with 1,002,000,000. DZ Plex, who's been hanging out there towards the top, is at $1 billion in change, but not too far behind are the Garbrer Redemption at $996 million in change, and friend of the program, B.S. White, 1970, who is at $992 million in change. So a whole bunch of people right there in that $992 to, like, $985 million. 2 weeks left if you figure the average delta between most popular and Perfect Cinema is usually about $25 million. So there's still some potential for some movement there, but the window of opportunity is shrinking for most people.
It's definitely shrinking, but if you're close, I still think it can be anybody's game, especially with, like, Thanksgiving week. We've got 4 big releases there, and there's going to be some strong holdovers. So anything could still happen, but yes, the opportunities are running out.
Now, second half league is also pretty tight. So Bands leads in that one as well with $555,930,000 and change. Free Popcorn, which I think everybody could be on board with that, is a little bit further behind with $553 million. Plain and Simple Flops at $551 million. Puss in Genovian Boots, a reference to our recently concluded Fantasy Movie League Olympics, is at $550 million and change. So there's a chance to win there. I think the prize there was a couple of gift cards for the second half league. So some movement possibilities there as well.
Indeed, it is. It's going to be an interesting final 2 weeks here. I'm like, I'm way out of it, so I got to see if I can even just get myself to the billion club with 2 weeks left.
Now, the other one that's tighter was the short contest we announced a couple of weeks ago. This is the 3 week Age of 17 contest, where if you win that one, you win props from the actual movie. This is the week that movie is premiering, so it's the last week of the league. And as it turns out, in the first 2 weeks, a number of people have had Perfect Cinemas. There's a tie for first place with four different people up on top, including our own Austin Buyers Club, who is filled in when you had to go take your European trip. Austin filled in, and he's leading that one. PC King is also tied with that. That's Not a Knife, and There Is No Spoon Cineplex.
Very cool. And yes, Austin, one of those players who's been around since week one in the Pitch Perfect days.
Now, how about you? What's been going on with the brackets? We have Alien Invasions last week, and this week, in honor of one of our new films, you've got boxing movies.
That's the Alien Invasions. I think, no surprise, Independence Day, which has a special place in a lot of people's summer movie hearts, like took that one pretty easily. This week, with Bleed for This coming out, about Vinnie Pazienza, decided to open it up to all the boxing movies, and there's been quite a few of them over the years. And a little tricky, because there's so many Rocky movies, so kind of to keep it from taking over the entire bracket, they have their own quadrant, which has been very competitive, and lots of other good movies in there. We've got, your Raging Bull, your Million Dollar Baby, so a lot of good flicks to choose from, especially now that we're down to about the final eight.
Nice. So I like it when we tie it in with a new movie so tightly.
There just weren't enough Harry Potter movies. It would have been a very brief bracket there, and the fantasy ones, it would have just been too big or too small, so the boxing ones seem to fit that niche this week.
Okay, well then I have to ask, what's your favorite Harry Potter movie?
Oh my god, let me see. Now, again, I am definitely not going to hold the expertise that you have in this area. I've seen them all. I want to say, is it four is the Goblet of Fire?
Goblet of Fire is four. That's typically the one that people name, I think.
I did like that one. Some people, they love Azkaban. I wasn't as wild about that. The first two are a little too kiddie. That one's, right in the middle. I thought that one was, just solid entertainment from start to finish.
See, I like, my favorite book is Azkaban, because you don't see some of those plot twists coming towards the end. But I have to admit that as movies go, Goblet of Fire is probably the best one. Goblet of Fire was the first of the books that started taking on mammoth lengths. I think that one's 700 pages long. And the first time I tried to reach it, I was on page 100 and they were still in the mansion. And I just, I punted on that one for several years.
And again, I've never read the book, so I really just view them purely in terms of the movie, not how well they adapted it. So I just thought from start to finish, it wasn't too long. It was just a very tight, entertaining movie. So I'll go Goblet of Fire.
All right. Well, we'll talk about the latest installment of the Harry Potter series here in a minute, but I want to throw some love out to the community. If you read one chatter thread this week, it should be the one entitled M37 Tip Sheet Evaluating Thursday Preview Grosses. It is a crash course in how you should look at the numbers we typically get on Friday mornings for new releases and how you can interpret how they might do the rest of the weekend based on what their Thursday preview grosses were. It's long, I'll warn you, but it's well worth the read. It points you to the definitive source for comps on that and explains how you should go about trying to find good comps and how you should go about applying percentages of, what percentage of an overall weekend is going to be that Thursday preview number. It's a really, really good read. I suggest everybody who wants to get better at fantasy movie league take a look at that one.
Granted, it's long, but it'll definitely make you a better player if that's what you're interested in.
Now, software update. I've been working on the Long Range Forecast browser. It's been in beta here for a couple of weeks. So that's a tool that Ari asked for based on some of the Long Range Forecast plotting pages that I came up with about 6 weeks ago. So you go into this tool. It's analyzer.fmlnerd.com/browse-lrf. And you type in the name of a movie, and it will you push the button, and it'll plot that movie on a graph. You put in the name of another movie, it'll plot another one. So it lets you plot a custom LRF graph. I've got content in there that goes all the way back to the beginning of Fantasy Movie League, and I'm working on getting the content that goes all the way back as far as Pro Box Office long-range forecasts go. So that's sometime in 2010, May or so is when they started to get consistent about publishing that data. And I've screen grabbed all of that content, and I need some help. I'm going to be honest. There is one week that's missing, and I can't find it in the Wayback Machine. I can't find it in Google Caches. And if you have an idea of how to find this one, I would greatly appreciate the help. It's for the week of December 12th, 2014. This is the week that both Exodus, Gods and Kings, and Top 5 came out. I'm missing the weekend forecast for that week. I'm not sure if they even had one that week, because I wasn't a regular reader then. I reached out to them and asked, and they haven't gotten back to me yet. That's the one piece of data that I'm missing for all this data that goes back to 2010.
I don't recall. I would have thought the Exodus would have been about 24 million-ish around there, but I have no idea. It's going to take a deep dig.
Now, that I can't do. See, this is why we put this together, right? I'm the math guy. You're the longtime movie guy. There's no way I could have, oh, yeah, 25 million.
And then Top 5, like, you know, I remember seeing it in theaters, but, like, very limited screen, so probably well under 10, I'm guessing, in that 7.5 range. But I'm sure somebody in the chatter will, like, point out if that's incorrect.
Now, our friends at Loot Crate, this is the last week that you can get involved and get yourself the crate for this week. It's all in relation to Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which, of course, comes out Friday. You have until Saturday, November 19th at 9 p.m. to go to www.lootcrate.com/FML. You enter the code FML, you can save 10% off of any new subscription. The theme for this month, as we talked about the last couple podcasts, is magical. They've cast a powerful and ancient spell to deliver you this 100% exclusive crate featuring bewitching items from Doctor Strange, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and Big Trouble in Little China. So before 9 o'clock here on Saturday, if you go to that www.lootcrate.com/FML, you can get in on this latest crate. There's all kinds of other crates you can get as well. The larger one, the Crate DX, there's the wearables, all kinds of fun crates you can get in there. But it's the magical theme here for November. This is the last chance to get it.
So lots of cool stuff. And have you heard about the Big Trouble in Little China, the proposed remake starring Mr. Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
No. There is talks of it. I've never heard of it before. You're kidding.
Again, The Rock is a serial attacher, so it seems like he's attached to 100 different projects at any time. I mean, Jumanji's already done filming. That one's coming out next year. But I believe, like, you know, Big Trouble in Little China starring The Rock is a possibility.
Really? I don't know how I feel about that one. I would think more like Channing Tatum for that role. Like, put a beard and some long hair on him and...
It could be, and I'm sure it's just going to be just a CGI fest. It's going to be hard to, like, you know, maintain the charm of the original.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, as I mentioned, I think a couple podcasts ago, I had a friend in high school that we probably watched that movie 10 times on VHS back in the day.
Oh, it's a hell of a flick.
It is indeed. So we got four new movies to talk about here this week. A couple of holdovers, given what we are seeing in ProBoxOffice.com's forecast, and there's one important one for the third week in a row to talk about for what we are not seeing right now in the Pro forecast. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the big dog.
Okay, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. The long-range forecast has been stuck at $78 million for the last 8 weeks. It's currently, as we're recording, got a Rotten Tomatoes score of 83%, but that's down from 91%. It was a high. It got up to 91% yesterday. It's going to be in over 4,000 theaters. Deadline reported that they said between 70 and 80 million, but then Fandango was also saying that its pre-sales are outpacing Doctor Strange, which of course did 85 million a couple of weeks ago. What are you thinking on this one, Patrick?
I think right about that, just that 80 number. Is it going to go over? Is it going to go under? I think it's going to be right around there. I'm going basically with 80.
Okay. And what do you think it has a big floor, or do you think it's like between 70? You think it's between like 75 and 80?
I don't see it going below 70. I think, again, there's enough of a fan base. It's just really difficult to just try and, like, has the target audience that grew up with the Harry Potter movies, do they still care about this? Like, I don't know, but like you mentioned, 4,000 screens. They've been putting an absolute marketing blitz on it because this is so, so valuable to Warner Brothers, I think, especially with their DC franchise getting off to a bit of a, like, you know, the Suicide Squad and, like, Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman, they made, like, a decent amount of money, but I think people, they were seen by many, loved by few. So I think there's a lot of risk with that franchise there. So Warner Brothers absolutely needs this movie to work, and I think they're going to do whatever they can to make it open big. So I think the floor is pretty safe. I don't see it going below 70, but I think 80 seems reasonable.
So Pro Box Office has it on their weekend forecast at 82, and that seems fair. But given where they have some of the other returning movies in particular,
I think it's way too expensive to play for me. I think it's too risky.
There is one scenario where it makes sense to play it, which I think we'll get to here in a few minutes. But let's talk about there's the other three movies here. I don't know. You can say something bad, I guess, about each one of these three movies. I guess let's start with Age of 17, which we have the contest running.
Edge.
I'm sorry, The Edge of 17. What did I say? I said Age.
You said The Age. And I'm just trying to prevent you from like a chatter storm.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. That probably did not. Angry Geek probably just still yelled at his radio, regardless of you trying to save me. But I appreciate
it. Or through his glass. You know, the glass has already been thrown.
It has. So long range forecast on that one, 13 million. It's got a Rotten Tomatoes score, 91%. It's got going to be in about 1,900 theaters. But Deadline's now saying 8 million. The weekend forecast for it ended up being 11 million. So that's a bit of a downgrade even for Pro Box Office, which, as we know, tends to kind of overstate things. It's really hard to find another fall R-rated movie at this theater count. It's that 1,900 theater count that makes this one hard to look at.
I agree with the Deadline number. I think this is going to have a really hard time clearing 10 million. My thinking is that it seems like every year you've got that critically acclaimed coming-of-age dramedy, like this list that I've got, Adventureland 2009, only 16 million domestic total, similar theater count to what Edge of 17 is going to be having. 89% Rotten Tomatoes, like The Spectacular Now, only made 6.9 million, had a 93 Rotten Tomatoes. Diary of a Teenage Girl only made 1.5 million, 93 Rotten Tomatoes. Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl from last year, only 6.8 million total, 82% Rotten Tomatoes. Now, granted, Edge of 17 is opening up on more screens than all these films, with the exception of Adventureland, which is pretty close. But it just feels like Edge of 17 is going to be the 2016 version of the critically acclaimed coming-of-age dramedy that people discover on video later and wonder why it didn't do better when it was in theaters.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. I think it's unplayable this week, unfortunately, as much as I'd like to get behind it. And I'm not sure I'm very excited about either of the other two movies that are also new this week. What are you thinking about Bleed for this?
Like Miles Teller, I just don't really... It's probably going to be like a good for his acting reel, and he's building a body of work here. But if you look at the performance just a few months ago of Hands of Stone, which is kind of a similar, different boxer, but I'd say they're definitely would be cousins. I think it's got a really low floor for this movie. Like, I think it's going to have a really hard time clearing $5 million. Like, the way it's priced, I just don't love it. Like, it's hard to fit at the bottom of the screen, especially with some of these other holdovers that I think are going to perform pretty well. I'm steering clear of this one. So and this is also the type of movie that I think needs to get really strong reviews and have like legit Oscar buzz. It does not, so I think it's going to struggle.
Yeah, it's only got a 73 Rotten Tomatoes score, and again, that theater count is just going to be really limiting for it. It's got a final theater count of 1549. The long-range forecast on it was 5.5 million, but yeah, I'm with you. I think it's going to struggle to get to 5. Distributor, I think, has a little bit to do with this here in Open Road.
I don't trust Open Road at all. The only legitimate, I think you could say, like, you know, true hit they've had would be Spotlight, and that was like a long climb to get to the number that it was.
It wasn't a big splash. It got a post-Oscar bump,
obviously, but like all their other films, like they're on a pretty bad streak right now. I don't trust Open Road or the theater count. And again, this is something that would need overwhelmingly positive reviews to really make an impact, and it doesn't have them.
Yeah, I could see it maybe having a stronghold next week if it keeps some theater count and that Rotten Tomatoes score goes up, or the want to see, you know, sometimes when people see it versus the critics, it can have kind of a hold. I really like Miles Teller, though. I'm one of the few people, I think, that likes the Footloose reboot, and he was really, really good in that.
I did not see the Footloose reboot, but I will take your word for it.
Yeah,
there.
He's really good in it. You can stream it for free. It's worth a couple hours of your time if you got nothing else going on.
But if you take movies like Whiplash and War Dogs and The Spectacular Now, which we mentioned earlier, like he's putting a really impressive body of work together. I just don't think this is going to be a big hit for him.
So here's the last new movie is, it's not technically new because it was in two theaters last week, but part of me doesn't know what to make of this one. This is Billy Lynn's long halftime walk. Its original long-range forecast was up to $22 million. It went down to $12 million, and now their forecast for it is $4.5 million. I don't remember a movie having that big of a drop between its initial long-range forecast and the weekend. What do you make of this one?
I think it's a movie that was buzzed about for a long time. Specifically, I don't even know what the numbers and the letters. However, the 4D presentation, like immersive experience with Ang Lee, is supposed to be groundbreaking visually. And then when it came out of the New York Film Festival, the first time people were getting their eyes on it, it just did not have the great premiere that they were expecting. And ever since then, it was considered a front runner for the Oscars. Since that screening, it's kind of been disappearing on that front. And I think the box office numbers have been going down accordingly. I just don't think it's as good of a movie as it was hyped up to be from the get-go. And like, you're seeing that.
Well, and the important thing to note here is because it was in two theaters last week, you will not see Thursday preview numbers for this movie on Friday morning. And the additional thing is any money that comes in for it on Thursday will not count towards its box office total, unlike all the other new films that we've talked about so far in the podcast here. So be wary of that part of it.
And a bad Rotten Tomato score thus far, it's only at 47%. And I think you've got a competing picture that's holding up pretty well in Hacksaw Ridge that's going to draw some eyeballs away from it. So, like, I don't feel great about Billy Lynn. Like, my coma lineup was 7 Arrivals and 1 Billy Lynn because it fit, but I could play around with that a little bit. I don't feel great about it on anything more than one screen.
Well, let's talk about Hacksaw Ridge here then, because this one's interesting to me. If any movie benefited from the holiday last week, it was this one. But Pro Box Office has it this week at $7.4 million, which is a super strong hold for this movie. It's like a 30% hold. That seems really aggressive to me, given the bump that it got out of the semi-holiday weekend. Are you on board with me on that? That it's probably going to drop more like in the 40s and probably take it out of playable?
Totally on board. I think it's going to have a much bigger drop. And again, there's combined the election with Veterans Day, there's like, you know, a certain group of people were feeling very patriotic. I think that definitely gave the film a bump. I think it's going to come back down to earth a little bit and just have like a normal drop that you would see for a movie like this.
The other movie that caught my eye as maybe being a little aggressive is one that you talked about before, and I suspect you're going to disagree with me, and that's Arrival. So they have it pegged at $15.65 million for the weekend, which would be a 35% hold.
Feels a little ambitious there.
You're not even going to talk me into that, is what you're saying.
I mean, I liked it just because as a coma lineup, in case you don't get around to it, like last week, and I just never really had a chance to switch it up. This is just a placeholder. I don't think I'm going to be sticking with this, but that number feels crazy high, especially with all the competition coming into theaters. I think Fantastic Beasts will, take some eyeballs away from it. Doctor Strange is still performing well, and there's a lot of other options out there. But the movie, it is good. Like, I think word of mouth is pretty solid. Like, I don't think it's as good as the reviews have been like making it seem. I think it's a very solid movie. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's really going to be a Best Picture contender like some people have floated the idea for. But 33 or 35% just feels way too low. I think like 40, 45 is more realistic.
Well, let me ask you something about that, because from the things that I read in the chatter about people who saw it is they either loved it or hated it. And it seemed like the people who did not like it were sold a bill of goods with the commercials that it was like a sci-fi kind of invasion kind of movie, and that it ends up being something very different and something kind of more of a mind experiment. Is that
It's much more Contact than it is Independence Day, that's for sure, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and given that, I mean, I don't see this as being one of those movies that we were talking about a moment ago where maybe the buzz among the general populace is greater than that of the critics, right?
No, I think definitely the critics are going to like this one more than people. And again, I think the people who are like railing against it, those are probably the same people who thought like hated the end of Contact, and the people who, you know, loved it are the people who probably aren't really into that Independence Day kind of slam bang alien invasion movie. It's much different than that. So I think it'll hold up pretty well, but like that 15 number that Pro Box Office is floating feels way too ambitious.
Okay, I'm on board with that as well. So let's talk about the other movie that Pro Box Office did not, for the third week in a row, did not put in its forecast, that the last 2 weeks did not rock the boat, but this week it could rock the boat. I'd like to read you a tweet, which we almost never do.
Read away.
So this is from A24, and it reads, this is a couple hours ago, and it reads, hashtag Moonlight opens everywhere, in all caps, this Friday. It's magic and pure beauty and one of the last things that still makes sense. And then there's a very pretty gif of people playing in the beach. So what does everywhere mean in that sentence to you?
It's, I mean, until you get an accurate theater count, I've had it like the last 2 weeks in my column as the bonus pick, with the caveat that it's totally dependent on the theater count, which always comes out after I turn in the column to our editor. And who knows what everywhere means? It's probably going to be the widest release that it's had, but I don't know. Is that an additional 200? Does it get to 500? Is it getting close to 1,000? Like, I just don't know. But if it's only like 13 million there, we're going to have accurate theater counts by the time, like, you know, Friday comes around. If it goes up significantly, I think you can play it near the bottom, but beware.
Well, let me throw a couple numbers out for you, okay?
Throw them.
So if it expanded to 300 theaters, let's say, 2 million divided by 300 theaters would be a per theater average of 6,700. And keep in mind that at 86 theaters, it did 20K a per theater average last week. If it got up to 500 theaters and it did 3 million, that would be a per theater average of 6,000. And to put that into comparison, at about the same time last year, when Spotlight was in over 500 theaters after having not quite the same rollout, but a small rollout, its 500 theater weekend, it had a per theater average of 5,900.
That's leading me, like, you know, away from Moonlight a little bit there.
I think
the reviews are very strong. Like, everybody, I've known a few people who've seen it telling me that you've got to go out and see it. I'm going to try to this weekend if possible. But again, like, if you just look at the per screen average, again, it's gone from 4 to 36 to 83 to 176 screens in the 4 weeks it's been open. So very slow rollout, but it's been going down accordingly, 100,000 to 23K to 14K to 7,200. I think that's probably going to continue. It's totally going to depend on just how many screens we get.
And so if it gets in, it's in the 300 range, I think you can justify playing it three times. If it's in the 500 range and you really wanted to go for it, you could justify going more, like six or seven screens. But it kind of depends on what you think of the rest of the lineup this week. Let me throw a couple of lineup possibilities at you, right? So if Moonlight super expands, you could play seven screens of Moonlight with one screen of Fantastic Beasts, or you could play one screen of Fantastic Beasts, one screen of Bleed with seven or six screens of Moonlight. But what you would think in that case is that Moonlight plus the bonus would be less than Bleed, is what you think that was. So, given what we were talking about Bleed for this, maybe that's not the way to go.
It just seems just too risky to put everything in that Fantastic Beast. Again, the floor is pretty safe there, but to go like seven or six screens of Moonlight, you're totally going just all in on the bonus. Like, I don't think I feel good enough about that, even if it has a pretty aggressive expansion. But we don't know what the definition of everywhere is here.
No, we don't. But here's a little bit more conservative. So you could go with four screens of Trolls, either an Edge of 17 or an Arrival, and then three screens of Moonlight.
I think that's safe. I think Trolls, again, if last week's any indication, I don't think Fantastic Beasts will take that much away from it. I still think it's going to hold up pretty well.
Then I got one other one, the way this just worked out. We've talked about, you know, we don't have Mark Wahlberg this week, but in the past month and a half, we've had lots of famous white guys running movies. But so I would name this one Fantastic White Guys and Where to Find Them. You can play one screen of Beast, two screens of The Accountant, two screens of Jack Reacher, and three screens of Inferno.
I would actually, I don't know if I'm going to play that as my lineup. I'd like to actually see that movie with those four characters all hanging out together.
It would be. So you mean as like cameos in Fantastic Beasts to have each of those four characters just hanging out in the library somewhere?
Maybe, or it's a heist film where these four get together and they try to rob something. I don't know. It's just the idea just came to us. It needs some development.
Well, one of us works in the industry and one of us doesn't. So, you know.
I've heard worse pitches than that, so you never know.
All right. I'm leaning towards a four screens of Trolls. Just I don't pretend to understand this audience, and they keep hanging around. So I might be jumping on this a week too late. We'll see what Moonlight tells us, and how many screens you can justify it. The only other thing that would make me think differently about playing a four times Trolls lineup is if Fantastic Beasts just has some unbelievable Thursday number. I mean, if you make that comparison back to Doctor Strange a couple weeks ago. It had a $9.4 million opening on its way to an $85 million weekend. So it would have to get above 10 for me to think about playing Fantastic Beasts, given how expensive it is.
Agree. And again, I'm going to go to the lineup calculator and seeing what number is Arrival truly playable. So that's another possibility for me. But I think Trolls is probably going to be the safe way to go.
All right.
And Arrival's doing decent midweek business. I mean, it's well behind Doctor Strange, but it's kind of within striking distance. It's holding up pretty well. And obviously it's beating Trolls just because of the kids in school, but it's worth monitoring. I'm going to play around with a lot of different lineups.
Okay. Well, as always, take a look at the chatter to see what some of the latest information has to tell us. Look very closely at that Moonlight Theater count number when it comes out on Thursday afternoon. That'll be a pretty big guide. Otherwise, that's going to do it here for week 12 of the Fantasy Movie League fall season. As always, you can find me on Twitter at NerdGuru. Patrick, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at TheBoxOfficeGuy.
You can always find official news from the official Fantasy Movie League Twitter account at FML_movies. You can find us on Facebook or on iTunes by doing a search for Fantasy Movie League. And both in the main navigation of the site and at FantasyMovieLeagueShop.com. You get your Fantasy Movie League gear. Good luck, everyone. Until next week.
This has been the Fantasy Movie League podcast. Come join us and play for free in public leagues or against your friends at FantasyMovieLeague.com.